Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burnley. A little later on the programme, Gab Marcotti will be here to reflect on AC Milan getting one step closer to winning the Italian Championship. But we kick things off in the Premier League. A lot of people asking how Manchester City would react after getting knocked out of the Champions League midweek. Well, the answer was, well, very well. They thrashed Newcastle by 5-0 to put them very much in the driving seat now to retain their title with 3 games to go after Liverpool drop points yesterday at Spurs. Pep Guardiola's side are 3 points clear, 3 games remaining, plus a better goal difference now as well. Let's welcome in, shall we, for more on this. Frank Leboeuf is with us, as is Shaka Hislop. Well, we'll start with that game, Frank. Manchester City showed that they've still got it with regards to the character, considering what happened midweek.
Definitely. Everybody were looking for a reaction from them, and they showed to the world that something can be hard to digest, but when you're professional, you have to look for ahead and do your best, and they did today. And after the result of Liverpool as well, you know, they wanted to show that they can win the Premier League. I think for me, I have the feeling that it's a game. The game is over. That Manchester is going to be the champion of England, and Liverpool will fight for the Champions League.
Oh, Frank's just answered all the questions that we need to ask him. You take a look at the remaining schedule. Of course, midweek games, City away against Wolves, Liverpool away at Villa Park. Shaka, do you agree? Is it done?
Unless you're a Liverpool fan who's sitting in that Liverpool dressing room, I think it's over. I just don't see City dropping points between now and the end of the season. Liverpool, of course, themselves have a cup final to come, so that adds to their own kind of fixture congestion. And I think it was all about the response after the heartbreak against Real Madrid. And the response was absolutely fantastic. You can't question that. And while the fat lady isn't through singing just yet, she's warming up.
Wonder where he was going there.
Well, yes, as Stevie said on yesterday's show, Liverpool still got a chance. He did cite goal difference at the time as well.
He's in the cupboard of hope, isn't he?
Is there such a cupboard? Is that a thing? Get in the cupboard of hope. Off you go.
There's no hope in his cupboard for food, to be honest with you. I actually am somewhat with him. I thought it was a horribly meek performance from Newcastle, as good as Man City were. I've seen pre-season friendlies with more intensity in the second half, just walking about. So they're going to have to, and probably will spend, but it just wasn't a good performance from Newcastle. I can imagine up in Liverpool, screaming at the TV with that kind of effort. I look at Wolves in West Ham, and I do see two really, really tricky games for Man City.
Right.
Not if the games have been at the Etihad, but because they're I believe, unless I've read that graphic long, they're both, it's at Wolves and at West Ham.
Yep, you're right.
You know, West Ham in particular are not going to be an easy team to break down in London. I'm not saying Liverpool's... I'm not looking at Liverpool's as much now because they're now chasing. We're now looking at where City are going to slip up, if there's going to be a slip-up.
Yeah.
I would say Villa last game, I don't see that as a big drama. They're not going to be relegated. They've not got a lot to play for. But I just think Wolves and West Ham, there is potential... maybe not for defeat, but potential for a draw in there.
Right.
So, I don't think it's quite over yet, but it's I would say it's close, clearly.
Frank, are you buying what Craig's selling here?
Well, you know, I like the fact that Greg tried to give us a little of suspense.
I'm positive,
you know, for the end of the season, but I don't see. I know. Well, if you're a Liverpool fan, you know, nobody thinks you're positive. But I really think that it's possible that City can lose one game, but they still have the goal difference with the 5-0 today. So meaning that even if they win, they lose one and win two, I don't see Liverpool getting on top of them, you know, in the goal difference. So it's why I think the game over, and especially because Liverpool have the FA Cup final to play and the Champions League final to play, and the players will be very focused on that instead of maybe the trying to chase Manchester City, where obviously they have a little, just a very tiny chance to get on top of Manchester City.
So City then capitalising on Liverpool dropping points yesterday in that 1-1 draw against Spurs. Jurgen Klopp after the game wasn't particularly complimentary about the style of the opponents.
How impressed were you with the way Spurs defended?
I'm sorry, I'm the wrong person for that. I don't like this kind of football, but that's my personal problem. I think they're world class, and I think they should be do more for the game. Having a game against Liverpool and having 36-30% possession, but it's my problem. I cannot coach it, so that's why I cannot do it. So yes, world class players block all the balls. Really difficult. Atletico Madrid is doing it. So, fine, they've won whatever in the past. Fine, absolutely fine. It's just I can't. So, but yes, I respect everything what they do, but it's not me.
Thoughts?
Well, it's not a surprise. Not that he's saying that. It's not a surprise that Conte's side's line up that way, that Spurs line up that way. So it's not come as a shock. I don't have a problem with the way he phrased it. I would have a problem when he's talking about world-class players. I mean, they have two world-class players in Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane. You might throw Hugo Lloris in there, possibly, as a World Cup winner. But that's about it. It was a difficult game for Liverpool, we know that. It was difficult to break Tottenham down. They were super organised, five at the back in the end, four in midfield, Harry Kane up front. But they did break well.
Yeah.
Tottenham. They did break well at times. And that's the Antonio Conte way of setting a side up. Go back to Klopp. I don't think it's sour grapes. I think he was very honest there and said, look, it's just not how I would coach a team. That's not what he wants to see in his team. That's not what he wanted to see when he got the Liverpool job. He didn't envisage building a team that was structured to hit on the counter and defensively solid and block. But however, that's how Jose Mourinho for many years had success. Mm. That's how Antonio Conte's had success and other managers. And we just have to face it. Not everybody in this league is Manchester City and Liverpool. And so you're going to face those tricky opposition that are well organised. And it just so happened it came at a very untimely time of the season when they were desperate for a result. So I don't really have a major... I don't think he's griping or doing anything like that. I think he just gave an honest answer there that, yeah, Conte coaches well, but just he doesn't like doing it that way.
Frank?
Well, as much as I like, and everybody knows the way Liverpool plays, and I absolutely love Klopp's philosophy of football, you know, I think his comment doesn't make any sense, and I don't understand why he even answered to that, because, you know, there is not only one football way. There is many ways of playing football, and Italy proved for like 30 years that defending was an art, and you could win a lot with that. Yeah, it's not his philosophy, but it's like more a frustrating answer to the press because he knows that he maybe lost the race for the title today. It will be a complete suicide, and Conte and the Tottenham players will be kamikaze to go at Anfield and play offensively and open up because of the talent of the team that you're facing. The only way to get a point or get something out of Anfield right now is to defend deep, block every actions, and make sure that you don't concede goals. That's the only hope that you have against a fantastic team. So Jurgen Klopp should understand a little bit more the philosophy of defending against him and maybe accept that more than he just commented.
Shaq?
Yeah, I'm with Frank. I don't understand why Jurgen Klopp felt the need to say something here. Listen, I understand you see your team drop 2 points against a very defensive Spurs and it and the implications around the title race and you feel frustrated as a result. At the same time, this couldn't have been a surprise. The way Spurs played was not a surprise. And in that same interview, he spoke about Spurs taking points off Manchester City and Chelsea and Liverpool and yet still finishing fifth. So you know what Spurs are doing. You know how Antonio Conte has set his teams up. And why you felt the need to kind of express that frustration now is beyond me. Listen, let Spurs do what they feel is right. You do what you feel is right. And let the game play. This is not new. This is an old tactic from managers we've seen it for quite some time, and it doesn't make it any better that it's Jurgen Klopp. I personally just find it distasteful because it's none of his business.
Sometimes we want honesty from players and managers and open up rather than the usual guff we get from players in particular who are told by PR departments to say very little. I just think he was asked a question here and gave an answer.
Right.
It wasn't like he brought it up and aired his frustrations out the blue. I mean, he could have said, I'm not speaking about Tottenham, I only talk about my team, I suppose. But he did just air an opinion that we all know to be correct, that his teams play an open, dynamic game, and this Tottenham team don't. Now, there's obviously an element of frustration in that comment because of the result. But, you know, ultimately, all he's said is I like to play the game in a more entertaining way.
Right.
And they don't. Look, we criticise Atletico Madrid in particular recently because they've been talking about them a lot for something similar. So, I don't know, it's you know, I get it. Say nothing and keep your mouth shut. But sometimes we want an honest answer from players and managers. And yeah, some might find it distasteful. I just thought it was an honest take on how his team faced a frustrating game against a side that just wouldn't open up.
Well, Spurs then picking up a point at Anfield, but they still need a lot of things to fall their way if they're going to catch Arsenal at the top of the table. That's after Arsenal beat Leeds today by 2-1, means that they are 4 points clear of their North London rivals. However, of course, these two teams face off on Thursday in what will prove to be a massive game regarding who will take that fourth place. Arsenal got it done early, really, here. Nketiah getting the 2 goals. Obviously, Leeds down to 10 men. Made to sweat a little bit in the second half. But it's all about the 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah, well, particularly, look, when you're Leeds and Jesse Marsh are down there, you can't afford to, one, get people sent off, and two, goalkeeper make the errors that they did. Now, with the games left for Leeds, you can't afford to make stupid challenges two-footed like that, particularly when you've not got a big squad. You've had major players missing for most of the season. Phillips, who's a brilliant player, has been out a long time. He's only just been back. Bamford's been missing. They've had a bunch of kids. They don't have a big squad. They didn't buy and spend big when Bielsa was manager, and they're paying for that now. What you can't do as a player, an experienced player, knowing that the next 3 games are going to be roll your sleeves up, live or die, is make stupid challenges like that right at the end. Or less so the goalkeeper making basic errors like he did. So from Leeds' perspective, that was amateur hour. But for Arsenal, it was just another good result, taking advantage of mistakes, dominated the game, and now we have the big North London derby coming up, which should be very intriguing.
Very much so. Arsenal going to be OK, Shank? Or is it really just all down to Thursday?
I think Arsenal are going to be OK. I thought they played well enough against Leeds, and while they got the 3 points and it was really comfortable, I just felt that if you're Arteta and you're winning 2-1, and even though Leeds didn't offer much of a threat, just with one goal in it against a 10-man team down battling relegation, you ask for a little bit more of a killer instinct from your team, and Arsenal didn't give it. Spurs themselves buoyed by that result against Liverpool at home. It's going to be a test, but I think Spurs dropping 2 points, the fact that it doesn't all hinge on the North London derby, that regardless is still in Arsenal's own hands. If they win out, they finish top four. I think that gives them the edge. It makes it a little bit too nervy for Spurs. I don't see Arsenal losing. The best, the worst from their perspective, I see as a draw.
Yeah, Newcastle and Everton as well. Newcastle, we can see already pretty much on the beach. Everton should be safe.
Quite embarrassing for Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel in some respect to see these two teams that have been average for a long time this year be only just behind them, to be quite frank with you. Takeovers or not, you know, they've got an FA Cup final coming up, which is big. sort of gone off tangent here, but I heard somebody say the other day in England that it's been a successful season for Chelsea up until this point.
They are world champions.
Because of the club. I thought, what a lot of nonsense. How the hell can you be this far off the top two with a so-called world-class manager, and spare me any talk about takeovers and sanctions and how that's affected the players? Don't even go down that road, anybody, because it's just a lot of nonsense. They've just not been good enough. And to be seeing Arsenal, who have got the deficiencies, including a manager, we still don't know whether he's going to be good enough long term. A lot of people out there saying, yeah, this is decent, but have they got the right manager? And yet here they are, just behind this multi-million pound squad with the so-called third best manager on the planet. Have I turned to...
No, not at all.
Quite embarrassing, I think, for Chelsea at the moment. And if they lose the FA Cup final, which they're not favourites in, but it's a big if, then I just don't see how it's been anywhere near a good season.
Club World Cup, Craig. Come on.
I could pick that Club World Cup like that because it's paper. One finger.
Frank, Arsenal going to be OK?
I wouldn't be as optimistic as Shaka was before because it's a young team. It's the youngest team. And the pressure will be huge playing away from home for that derby against Tottenham. Then they have to play at Newcastle, and it won't be easy. So you never know. It's going to be tricky. I feel that they're very professional, like today, scoring two early goals, securing everything, after like 15 minutes. But you never know what can happen in your hand, in your head, at the end of the season, where the pressure is bigger, and it's like the end of a big fight, and you have to punch the opponent to make sure he's going to be knocked out. So we will see. I think Arsenal has a clear advantage, and we're going to know better, after the game this weekend. But I wouldn't be that optimistic. I think the next game is going to be crucial.
Speaking of crucial games, big result for Everton today, beating Leicester by 2-1 away from home. It takes them out of the relegation zone. Remember, Burnley yesterday lost against Aston Villa, and of course, as we mentioned, Leeds losing against Arsenal. Dear me, three matches to go. Craig, you said what last week? Leeds are in trouble. Is this win enough for Everton?
Look, I think so. I just think, well, and they should have with what they've spent. A better squad, more experienced players. I felt Leeds, the run-in was tougher in my opinion. The squad was thinner. They've now lost Ailing to a red card. And I just feel Everton have got more experience and let's be honest, more quality. Not that they're a quality side, but they have more quality. And I look at Leeds, Chelsea and Brighton. Brighton off the back of walloping that hapless Manchester United side. Yep. But they've got a good team, they've got a good manager. And then Brentford at the end for Leeds. Brentford winning 3-0 yesterday against Southampton. They're a good side. They've got themselves to sort of mid-table in their first season in the Premier League. I just struggle now to see where the points are going to come from Leeds and maybe now Burnley.
I suppose if you're going to argue for Leeds, Chelsea, of course, maybe will have one eye on the FA Cup final next weekend. Maybe they can get something at Elland Road. Burnley, of course, that good run that they had, just broken up slightly after that defeat against Villa. Shaka, looking at it overall, who's going down?
Right now, if I had to make a choice, I'm leaning Burnley. I just wonder if that good run of form has come to a crashing halt yesterday. And while Leeds would be disappointed with the result against Arsenal in particular, I'm not sure that you go into that game expecting an awful lot. And they've had a couple of tough games now back-to-back in City and Arsenal, which I don't think Jesse Marsh would have gone into thinking that they're going to get anything out of. And this game against Arsenal maybe was a little bit tighter than even he expected. For Everton, I'm taking nothing for granted yet. Two incredible results back to back, but again, against a Leicester team that, for the most part, are on the beach already, on their holidays already. Jordan Pickford made a couple of incredible saves. So while it looks like Everton have turned the corner and are churning out results, they're relying very heavily on not just good saves from Jordan Pickford, world-class saves from Jordan Pickford to keep them in it. But my concern has always been about Burnley, that good run of form. How does that take a toll on them now? I feel they're the ones, if I had to wager something on it, I'm picking Burnley to go down.
It's always about the goalkeeper, Shaq, isn't it? That's what it's all about in this game.
Always is.
Yep, very much so. Frank and Shaka will be back to answer your tweets on Extra Time. Just a reminder, you can always check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, the big game on Sunday in La Liga was the Madrid derby. Atleti winning by 1-0. Carlo Ancelotti pretty much put out a second string side for Madrid, knowing, of course, they'd already wrapped up the title. For Atletico Madrid, it was all about creating some distance between them and Real Betis. They did that. 6 points now separate fourth and fifth. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Sid Lowe and Luis Garcia. Luis, really, from an Atleti perspective, this was all about the win and getting the job done, which they did.
Yeah, exactly. And you could see Simeone praying and looking up, saying, yes, give me one more. Please give me one more. That's the importance of this Atletico in Madrid today's game. It was all about doing the job. It's true that in the second half, the game kind of broke in two pieces, the strikers and the defenders. That's why Oblak was so angry. But you have put this game to bed early on. I think Carrasco had a couple of one, very, very clear ones, Cunha as well. They did a fantastic game, even a few minutes from Griezmann. I enjoy watching them. Condovia was, for me, also very important to try to keep the balance. But it was about arriving to this objective. In the beginning of the competition, they need to challenge to win the La Liga trophy. But as soon as they realized that it was going to be a very, very difficult season, the main target is to get in the top four and wish that the next season they will start better at the competition. And I think they've done a great job. Three next games, I think they can win against Celta. It's the first one. Real Betis is going to play against Real Madrid in the last game of the competition. So probably winning against Celta is all job done.
Sid Lowe, pitch side. Sid, what would you like to say?
I suppose to pick up on that sense as the game went on of Oblak getting more and more edgy. And we had him just in front of us, and there's the miss, I think it's the Carrasco miss that goes over the bar, and he kind of kicks at the air, and he gets furious when Madrid are allowed to approach a little bit. And I suppose, look, this is the context of the significance of this result for Atletico Madrid. Obviously, the context of the fact that Real Madrid have turned games around 9 times this season, including, of course, in midweek against Manchester City. And there was an edginess towards the end, because I think he felt, as I think probably quite a lot of the people in the stadium did, that at some point Atletico would end up paying for not taking their chances. As it turned out, of course, they didn't.
Come on, Ancelotti and Real Madrid, Craig.
Well, that's
significance.
That's what I was going to say, that this was the perfect time to have a big Madrid derby between these two teams. I mean, big in the sense it was big for Atleti. Yeah, and for the fans, you want to win any derby, but there's a bigger picture for Real Madrid. So this was a perfect scenario. You had the winning the title last weekend and the celebrations from that. You had the most mesmeric comeback against one of the best sides in Europe, plus 120 minutes of football, and some of those players played. Now he's resting players on top of that, key players. So it was absolutely the perfect time for this fixture to come along, when Real Madrid, apart from playing for the pride of Madrid, had nothing else to play for. But they still made it nervy because the finishing wasn't clinical. Sure. They could have had this game wrapped up within the hour. Should have had the game wrapped up. But that sort of sums their season up. Look, it's obviously huge for them to get in the Champions League. Simeone knows with this squad, they should have been in there comfortably. They should have been challenging for a title. They're not. So the least he needs to do is not fall over and let Betis get that fourth spot. It's probably not going to happen. Sure. It's very unlikely to happen now. That's how big this was for them. But I just think it was perfect timing to play this fixture.
And of course, Sid, significant financially as well for Atleti.
Yeah, very much so. As we were talking about before the game, after that defeat against Levante, one of the things that came up in the conversation between the manager and the sporting director and the president, and then when those three then went together to speak to the squad, one of the things that they really impressed upon the players was, look, if we don't qualify for the Champions League, we're in a position where financially some of these contracts probably can't continue next season, that things will have to change. So there was a direct threat there to the players. Maybe not a threat, a warning perhaps is a better way of putting it. So it's very significant for them financially. Simeone actually admitted yesterday, very publicly, said, look, yes, we budget. We budget for the Champions League. And so if we're not in the Champions League, the impact of it is very, very significant. And I agree with what Craig's saying, that the fact that they've won tonight means if they go to Elche and win, that's it, it's done. More importantly, I think it means even before the Elche game, there's less concern, I suppose, about the fact that Sevilla come here. And there's less concern about, that's a game where maybe it could slip away from us. You could be in a position where ultimately that game doesn't really matter too much.
This was, of course, Real Madrid's first game after wrapping up La Liga title, and tradition in Spain is that there should be a guard of honour from the opponents to salute the champions. Luis is a former Atleti player. Are you slightly disappointed they didn't honour that?
Let's talk about the God of Honor once again. I think he's... we haven't talked much during the whole week or the last 10 days. In my opinion, and always about opinions, and I understand what the club has mentioned and what they did and what happened during the start of the game. In my opinion, I think there's something that you should do. It's been done in 1970, if I recall well. It was a manager from England, a gentleman who did it the first time against between Athletic Club Del Bau against Atletico in Madrid. And since that moment, every club has been doing it every single year. And I think we are trying to share and to give our youngsters the values that this sport brings. And I think that making that is a show of if you play this game and you win it, I think that you have to have the respect of the rest of the players. And I think it's something that you can do, that you show the respect to the winner and you understand that you are a loser and the other one is a winner. And those are values that when you're a kid, is very important that you understand. Showing that you're not going to do it is because you start making conflicts. You don't have the fair thing about the sports. I understand. You don't want to do it. It's fine. In my opinion, they should have done it.
What are you looking at me for?
Interested to see what you have to say.
Generally, very bold.
But he can have his opinion, Craig. I heard you, and I totally respect. I understand. It's about opinion. Some people will say no. Some other yes. I understand. Well, if Craig is not in favour,
I'm trying to think back to Celtic and Rangers, and you know, winning the title at Celtic in '98. Would they have done it? And not all the years Rangers won the title when they were dominant with a great side. I mean, it would have been carnage in Glasgow. I mean, it's bad enough there. At the best of times, there's not a lot of common sense. So, I just like... You can admire your fellow professionals with a nod or a look or a little pat on the back or a beer afterwards. I don't think you have to show this. There's a necessity to show a public appreciation.
Right.
When there is usually an appreciation and a respect between the players anyway. There is so much drive now for, I think, the public to see this as well. And I just... The fact we're talking about it, I'm just...
Sid, why are you losing the will to live. Why are you giggling away through this?
Because we're still doing it. Yeah. We're still doing this stuff. I mean, are we doing this?
Next up, Sid, who's better, Messi or Ronaldo?
now we're getting to the hot issue of the day. I really wish you'd started with this. We could have spent the whole show talking about it.
Ah, dear. We know that you hate Ronaldo, Sid, so that's fine. Thank you very much, guys. That's it. No more Guard of Honour talk for Real Madrid. Of course, the big focus for them is the Champions League final. Atletico Madrid looking to get it done, aren't they, with regards to the big game against Elche midweek. And that game is live on ESPN+. I'm just trying to find what update. There it is. Wednesday, Atleti away against Elche. That's at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Massive comeback win for AC Milan on Sunday. They're 1-0 down against Hellas Verona, but in the end, they'd win by 3-1 that puts them back to the top of the table. They are 2 points clear with two matches remaining. For more on this, let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, the finish line is almost within touching distance from Milan.
Almost, just about, Dan. And once again, Milan showing tremendous amounts of character. Remember, away to Verona, this is where Milan threw away two titles they thought they'd already won in years past. They have the goal disallowed, things get bumpy. And then it's the Rafael Leao show and Sandro Tonali show. But it was a tough game. They had to defend well. Tomori and Kalulu, I thought, were immense at the back, at the heart of that Milan defense. And again, they're... I think if they do win the title, the difference between them and Inter, one of the differences is going to be this is not a team that gets rattled the way Inter sometimes do, as we saw on Friday when they had to come back the way they did. And I think they just showed tremendous character, tremendous fight, and tremendous professionalism.
You look at the two remaining games, Atalanta and then away against Sassuolo. Not too bad, Gab.
Not too bad, although you're talking about two opponents where you don't know what they're going to get. Atalanta, you know, they struggled for, obviously they were phenomenal at first and they kind of got lost along the way. But they've had some big results of late. They're neutrals, you know, they're going to go for it, even if they don't have too much to play for, although they could theoretically still get into the European places. Sassuolo have been on the slide badly, and that can work two ways because, again, they can turn it on whenever they want. They're an incredibly inconsistent, talented side that doesn't really fill you with too much confidence there. So I think Milan have to keep their eye on the ball all the way because I'm not sure Inter, despite the Coppa Italia midweek, you know, perhaps sapping some energy or whatever, I'm not sure Inter are necessarily going to relent.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. You can check out a lot more from Gab on Monday's edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That, of course, as always, available on our website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Let's return to La Liga, shall we? As we mentioned, of course, Atletico Madrid with that 1-0 victory over Real Madrid. They made us sweat a little bit, though. Jan Oblak pulled off some great saves near the end. Nico up with Alexis Nunez after the game.
Jan, thanks so much for chatting with us. Congratulations. A big win in the Madrid derby. The intensity that you guys started with, was that a plan all along?
Yeah, first of all, thank you. It was our plan to start so intense, and I think we did great. It's impossible to play like that all the game, but in the first 20, 25, 30 minutes, I think we didn't leave them any space to create any chances. So I think we started really great. Then in the second half was more difficult.
It did seem more difficult in the second half, of course, when Ancelotti made certain changes as well. But we know that you guys looked at this match kind of like a cup final. Is that fair to say?
Oh, for us now every match is final because we need to be in the first four in the league, so every match is going to be a final. We really needed these 3 points today. Madrid didn't need it. They are champions already. But anyway, Venice derby, I think everyone want to win. Everyone want to be the winner in the city. But luckily we today was our day. We win 3 points, three important points in the fight for Champions League.
And I mean, you've definitely spoken very honestly through this season. I said sometimes it's just been hard to even think what's going wrong. Now with a win like this over Real Madrid at home in front of the fans, mentally, can you breathe a little sigh of relief?
Oh, of course, it's always easier to speak after the game when you win, no? But anyway, even today, I don't understand what's happening to us. We had so many opportunities, so many chances, and we couldn't score. So something strange is happening, but of course, we are really happy. And after this difficult season, I'm happy about the fans because I know that this means a lot to them as well, not just to us. So I'm really happy. Hopefully, we stay in the first four in the league, and then next season we give much more from ourselves and we give much more happiness to our fans as well.
Jan, thank you so much. All the best for the next one.
Thank you.
So Atleti's next game away against Elche on Wednesday. A victory for them there would see them guarantee Champions League football next season. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Frank and Shaka is with me. Plus Craig ranting, of course, well, why wouldn't he, about playoffs in the Mexican League. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf also joins us, as does Shaka. Shaka, is the beard returning? What's going on?
No.
Just Frank,
have you shaved for a couple of days, Dan? Sure. That's all.
Have you ever heard anything so stupid that you play all year and win the league in Mexico and you battle it out and then at the end of the year, season, you haven't won the league?
That's what... Well, I've heard about it in Mexico many years ago, Craig. That's about it.
Chiellini said it should be introduced in Italy the playoffs.
Craig, I think in rugby in France, when you win the championship, you don't win the championship. You have the playoffs as well.
There you go.
I think.
Right, I'm not talking about rugby.
I think.
No, I get what you mean. But why? But this.
Maybe.
No. The whole premise. The whole premise of playing those games is the best team over the year comes out on top.
Right.
Not then to be going, oh, let's let the team who are 20 points behind, who made the playoffs, win.
Right.
They're now the champions. No, they're not.
Okay.
Nonsense.
So it's the championship nonsense as well. It shouldn't be playoffs. Right. Should be the third team that qualify and that's it.
Well, that's slightly different.
Why?
Because the top two, one, they have a champion.
Right.
And two, they have an automatic for the second.
Yeah, but you finish third, then you're the third best team and deserve
it's a diluted version of it.
Right.
Right. It's a diluted version of it to give all these other teams a chance. You have to have a title winner, right, surely. Otherwise, it just becomes a nonsense. And I think it's a nonsense.
Right. Should we get on with it?
So, I'll go on Football Americas tomorrow.
What about the Champions?
There you go.
Oh. What about the Champions League? what about the Champions League? So you finished third in your own league and you win the Champions League. Is that fair?
No.
Because you didn't win your domestic championship.
But it's my point is it's just all about money.
Oh, well, there we go.
That's what it is. You have the Champions League's about money. The playoffs are about money.
Speaking of money,
I wish they hadn't opened this can of worms now.
Greg, who has been the better transfer, Grealish or Lukaku?
A Grealish. Because he's still getting game time. He hasn't caused a stir during the season. And he's likely to be at Manchester City next year to have another shot at being better than he has been this year.
Right.
I don't think Lukaku, one, he's been off the radar pretty much since Christmas. Two,
two goals yesterday, didn't he?
Two, he scored, season's done. Two, he caused the foray that round Christmas with the interview. And three, he'll probably be gone. So I'll Grealish.
Shaka, what was the best advice you received from your more experienced teammates?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Catch the ball, for God's sake.
Yes, I was
retire.
Get off your line for once in your life.
I'll leave this to Frank and Craig. I'm not sure I can add to that stealing advice that they just gave. I don't know. That's a good one from a more experienced teammate.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
Frank?
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I was more talking than listening.
Yes, yes.
Craig knows everything about that, so I don't know.
I thought it went down.
Go on, Shaq.
Phil Parkinson, early in my Reading career, said, always enjoy and celebrate road victories.
Oh.
They are the best things in football when you win away from home.
Oh, there you go.
And I held that dear.
Oh, beautiful.
The old saying goes, you'll be a great footballer one day, son, just not at this club.
Frank, did you impart any advice to the youngsters?
I say to John Terry when I left, I think it's your turn, my man, you know. Show to the world what you're worth. Well, I don't know if it was an advice. I think it was just what I was feeling and what the world was supposed to see on John Terry. So it's what I said to him when I left. So, Chelsea, yeah.
So John Terry's success is all down to you, Frank. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yes.
And all the money that you earn, he had to give it to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very important for experienced players to talk to the youngsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Yes.
So I remember you said you talked like nervous players, like Scottish Cat. I remember you telling me.
Oh, yeah, Gary Naismith, who left back, played for Hearts and Everton, made his debut for Scotland in Dublin. And it was only a friendly at the end of the season. And most of us were sort of larking around a little bit.
Yeah.
And not taking it that seriously. And I remember, excuse me, coming in from the warm-up and thinking, my God, it's a big deal for this lad. And he was sat in the corner, and he was a good player. He was sat in the corner, and I could see he was dead nervous. So I went over and sat down with him for a minute or two just before we went out and just talked to him. And he said to me, I'm really nervous.
Right.
I'm making my debut, I'm really nervous. So I said, just do what you do for your club, blah, blah, blah. We'll help you out. Don't worry, keep it simple. Don't try anything early on that's too fancy.
Yeah.
Just do the basics and work your way into the game. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
keep it simple is what you always tell me as well.
I talked to Craig. Yeah. If you can allow me, I saw Paul Pogba's brother like a month ago, and he's also a football player. And I said to him, you know, keep on playing, because sometimes you don't want to give up our careers because we're fed up, because we played too long. And after, when you retire, after a while, maybe 10 years after, you say, well, maybe I should have played two more years, because the job that we were involved in is maybe the best job in the world. So my advice to players is, say, keep on playing until you enjoy it, and don't stop too early because it's a fantastic game that we are involved in.
Beautiful words.
I've seen a player been so nervous before a game. It was a big game, I have to say. An international game, the playoff between Scotland and England.
Playoffs.
The Euro 2000 playoff. Nothing to do with Mexico. This was genuine. And I saw a player on the bus. I've told you the story, haven't I? I saw a player on the bus. Well, we all saw him.
Yeah.
On the way from the hotel to Hampden, because the magnitude of the game was in the toilet bus bathroom in the bus, just throwing up.
Yep.
Just thinking. He was just thinking about what was going to happen and the pressure. He pulled himself together and played quite well, but right. I mean, it was making him ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Nice thought.
That's what, you know, people, you don't see that side of things.
No.
Come and see
goodness.
It if you want.
I don't think anyone wants to see that side of things.
Oh, there you go.
For Frank, should Varane still start for France in the World Cup given the plethora of options they have?
Well, there is, I think in an international football career, you have your life with the club and what you do with the national team. And so far, there is no complaints whatsoever with Varane's performances with the national team. So I think Deschamps considers Varane as one of the leaders of the defense. And you could complain about Kimpembe as well. And we saw today giving a penalty, not qualifying with Paris Saint-Germain against Real Madrid as well. So, you know, you can judge every players, you know, what they do with their clubs. But overall, you know, Deschamps has a club mind spirit for France national team, and knows that he can count on Varane with his performances with the national team.
I presume the French fans won't boo Raphael Varane like the English fans booed Harry Maguire.
No, I don't think so.
You know, I know people say there's a few Man United fans in there. Man United fans don't support England, spare me. And this is going back to Frank's point, is that
we
can all judge Harry Maguire and say he's not done this, he's not done that, but like Varane has done a great job for Didier Deschamps, Harry Maguire has actually done a good job for England, as a generalisation, for Gareth Southgate. Now, the club stuff is a completely different kettle of fish, but that's what managers a lot of times pick players on, not just who's playing the best, but listen, who's going to save my bacon and keep me in a job and get me to a World Cup and give me success? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's not ideal, I think, as a player when you're not playing well, going back into that pressurised scenario.
Yeah.
But a manager sometimes trusts you and says, OK, forget about what's happening at your club. You're actually playing here with better players, and that'll bring the best out of you.
Craig, what matchup in Madrid-Liverpool are interesting? Van Dijk, Benzema, Vinicius Junior, Trent Alexander-Arnold?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many. You know, I think Thiago, who'll play, you know, will he go and try and put Casemiro to pressurise him?
Right.
But that's taking him away from protecting the back line. I was saying to you on the main show earlier, on the regular show, I think Valverde will play because of Robertson, because he gives him that hard work as well as the industry that he's got. And yeah, I think how the back four of Madrid will handle that front three and Luis Diaz in particular, Mane and Salah and that movement. I think there's so many. I'm neutral in terms of who I wanted to get to the final, but I think in somewhat we've seen Liverpool and City go head to head and tussle. I just think it's going to be fresh to see this brilliant Liverpool side against this Real Madrid side who I wouldn't call brilliant, but I would call capable of brilliance in given moments.
Frank, we know that you hate Real Madrid as well, so you'll definitely not be neutral.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah, you made it very clear that you don't like them.
I never said that I liked I disliked them, because that's completely untrue. I think they're not in the level everybody put in them. I think in terms of spirit, they're absolutely fantastic. in terms of the way they play. I don't know how possible they could be in the Champions League final. And everybody saw them playing against Paris Saint-Germain, against Chelsea, and even against Manchester City. Could say the same, you know, but in terms of spirit, they never give up. So it's why I think they can win the Champions League. But if I may say, and interfere in Craig's analysis about the big games and match between the players, I think Klopp will have to handle, make up something about Trent Alexander-Arnold. He can't live one against one with Vinicius Junior. So I think he's going to make up something, because otherwise it's going to be a nightmare for Trent Alexander-Arnold if he has to defend against Vinicius.
I think what we might see is Henderson playing, and I mean, making this up really, because I don't know.
It's nothing new.
But we might see somebody like Henderson playing on the right-hand side, to Frank's point, and being having an eye on whenever the play's building up, he's over there.
Right.
And he can't be there all the time if they switch to play quickly, or Liverpool are counter-attacking and they counter quickly. But if the play's a little bit slower, I think you'll see somebody like a Henderson shifting over there to try and protect, because Mo Salah will work back, but not, he won't double up all the way.
Right.
He likes to keep himself on a reasonably high line. But it is, I think, it is an intriguing contest for sure.
Meanwhile, Shaq,
you'll have your Real Madrid hat on, I'm sure.
Oh, that's all right, isn't it?
Oh, you're admitting it now.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but he hates Liverpool. Dan, why do you hate Liverpool so much?
I don't hate Liverpool, Frank. Unlike you, I haven't gone on the record times saying that Real Madrid are lucky, don't deserve to be in the final, they're horrible to watch. We've heard you say these things time and time again on the show.
Can somebody go to Shaka's house and check that nobody stitched his mouth?
Why, what's wrong?
He hasn't spoken for a week.
He hasn't been addressed, has he?
Chat.
It's all right.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you and Frank. And
Dan. No, that's not true.
I'm good.
Our producer says you have big Mother's Day plans, Shaq.
I have Mother's Day plans, yes, Dan.
Oh, what's going on?
It's a bit late.
No, you're not a mother, so you won't know.
No, yes, but you know, because you've organised it. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, you won't know. Those plans are mine to make.
Oh,
that's all.
Is it a surprise? What?
We'll go with that.
I tell you what, if it was...
She can't hear me, Shaq, because I'm in your ears, and I very much doubt she's watching.
No, it's OK.
Oh.
Can't be that
Carry
big.
On.
It can't be that big a deal. You've not even had a shave.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Maybe the beard is the surprise.
Yeah, surprise. happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Big surprise.
Surprise.
It's a 2-day growth.
Okay, all right. Let's rattle through the rest of them, shall we?
Yeah, he wants to go.
What time's the booking?
That's
What?
Oh, I can't do it. Arsenal, have they surprised you, Shaq? What did you predict at the start of the season? Shaq won't remember this.
Yeah, I don't remember what I predicted, but they have surprised me, especially given how they started the season. And then a few weeks ago, I was caning them. And all of a sudden, they've responded in a way that, yes, to the question, is surprising.
Apparently, you predicted they'd finish in the top four at the start of the season, Shaq.
Well, there you go. Perfect. So, no, it's no surprise at all.
Do you think Ten Hag
doesn't even remember?
So, no, when we haven't got, there's no games or anything, and we're struggling. We should get all the predictions back up, just for a laugh.
Really? Okay.
No, but I mean, like at the end of the season.
All right, we can do that.
I wasn't asking you. I sent it out loud.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Doing some
Oh, ideas. Can't wait.
Because I do know there's one person. I mean, I've not got them anywhere near
right
at all.
Okay.
But there was one person. I'm not going to name them.
Right.
He's such a nice chap. He's got, he had the most ridiculous, outlandish prediction.
Did it involve Manchester United?
Yes.
Who was that?
No, don't throw anybody under a bus.
Well, you've just brought it up for that reason, surely.
No, say it, Craig. We'll say that.
No,
we'll
I
say
can't.
That.
No, I can't.
We'll
I won't.
Say that.
No, it was none of us.
There you go.
You want to know, I'd
Nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. It's between
I'd
us.
I'd ask not to finish
How
fifth.
Do you remember?
Remember like an elephant. I'd asked not to finish fifth,
right?
And you ridiculed me at the start of the season, about 2 months in.
Why did I ridicule you?
Because they were third bottom of the league.
Right, that's
and I said to you, trust in Arteta, patience.
You did not say that.
No, I didn't.
You said jury's still out. What's going on?
That wasn't actually my answer. My answer was I was so bored, I just put Arsenal down.
Ah, there we go.
There you go.
Craig, do you think Ten Hag will get frustrated by the pressure he will face next year and the need of rapid success United fans want?
No. Well, I don't know how frustrated he'll get, but if any of the recent stories are true, or some of the headlines in the papers, have you seen them about the players that they were trying to buy?
No.
And the board said no. Diaz.
Right.
Vlahovic.
Okay.
Going to Juventus.
Yes.
Allegedly, and I saw our colleague Mark Ogden tweeting an article that the board decided to go for Victor Lindelof, wait for it, over Virgil van Dijk.
Right.
I mean, how much of that is true when other clubs are going for them? I don't know. But clearly, I'm seeing a pattern here with some of the recent managers, and I don't know about Solskjaer or not, but certainly from Mourinho onwards, is that I'm kind of seeing that they're telling United about certain players and certain people at United are trying to push for other players.
Sure.
A big discord here, and managers are not really getting the players that they wanted. So if that's the case, and I hope it's not, because they're in deep doo-doo, if that's going to still happen, then Ten Hag will get frustrated.
Final question. We talked about this on the show. You said Leeds are going to go down. Shaka said Burnley. Frank, we didn't hear from you. Who's going to get relegated?
Well, it's... I don't know how Chelsea's going to cop next game against Leeds, but... If Chelsea wants to seriously finish the season and properly finish the season, I think it's going to be hard for Leeds. So I will go for Leeds.
Yeah, but Chelsea got the FA Cup final, Frank.
Yeah, but you still have to be professional, you know. You have to do the job, you know. Yeah, and it's not... I'm very embarrassed and about the way they play in the Premier League. Oh. You know, losing against Arsenal, you know, losing against Everton, drawing again against Wolverhampton. I mean, you have to do the job. It's not because you have an FA Cup final that you can't win a game. And that's quite embarrassing for me. And it's why, if they play properly and normally at their level, they can finish Leeds and put them into relegation.
There we go.
You don't want to go into an FA Cup final as a team that were supposed to be, fighting for the title at the start of the season, getting beaten by a team that are effectively third bottom.
Right.
In the game, is it at Elland Road?
Don't know.
Not sure. Anyway, move on. So I think it's big trouble for Leeds.
Okay, that is it.
Shaka's need to go.
Wait, Shaka, have a good night. Go. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Have a great night, Shaq, at Dunkin' Donuts.
That's what our producer got, his wife.
For Christmas?
For Mother's Day.
A voucher?
A voucher for Dunkin' Donuts, $15.
That does not surprise me.
lucky.
That much?
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Now for a bit of bonus material. Let's go back, shall we, to our pre-match chat ahead of Atletico against Real Madrid. Now, yesterday, of course, tradition in Spain, we saw the guard of honour for Real Betis, their first home game since the Copa del Rey victory. And it is El Tercio, the guard of honour, that's been the big talking point going into today's game at the Wanda. Because traditionally, the opposition, given that Real Madrid won the title last weekend, should give Real Madrid a guard of honour. Atleti, though, not happy. Some people want to turn what began as a gesture of recognition for the champions into a public toll that their rivals must pay, imbued with a sense of humiliation. Atletico Madrid will under no circumstances collaborate in this attempt at ridicule in which the true values of sport are completely forgotten and tension and confrontation between fans are incited. For more on this, let's go to birthday girl, shall we? Alexis Nunez is with Sid Lowe.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. And that was definitely, well, you know, it's the season's pretty much already been wrapped up when that happens to be the headlines that's been dominating all of the media here. Should they give the guard of honor or not? Because it does leave a bad taste in the mouth of the Atletico Madrid players, fans. I spoke to Stefan Savage earlier this weekend. He said, look, for us as a player, it's not really a big deal. But Sid, how do you see it?
I quite liked the one of the Spanish papers today that started its preview for today's game by saying, now that the issue of the Paseo has been forgotten about, because, of course, that Atletico statement was way back at the start of the week, we can just get on with the game.
Yeah.
And this was about that far, a couple of centimetres below a big headline saying, passageway to the Champions League. So it wasn't really forgotten. And it has been the talking point all week. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit bored of it. I really don't think it matters enormously one way or the other. I think the statement that Atletico Madrid put out, they had a point in that what has happened over the last few years, that this has been turned into something that, rather than being about a gesture of, if you like, of
sportsmanship
or a gesture of respect amongst colleagues, it has become a kind of an excuse to kind of make a big thing of it. An excuse to try and, particularly from the media and from fans, to try and turn this into something much bigger than it really is. Of course, this all goes back to, I think it was 2008, when Barcelona gave Real Madrid a guard of honour, and it was huge in media terms. And I think at that point, everyone thought, you know what, this actually doesn't have that gesture of sporting kind of goodwill that it once upon a time would have done. And since then, quite a few teams have refused to do it. A couple of years ago, Real Madrid didn't do it when Barcelona, I think, won the league title. Yeah. And actually, Zidane took responsibility for it. It was really quite impressive, Zidane, at a time when there was all this debate around it and everyone was going on and on and on about it. Zidane came out and killed it. He just said, they're not going to do it. It's my decision. End of story. And that's effectively what Atletico have tried to do at club level this week by saying, we're not going to do it. But of course, they've gone further by saying, this is the reason we're not going to do it. Because it's not about sportsmanship anymore, or at least that's not the way it's judged by a lot of people. And I must confess, I think there's a bit of truth in that. That said, the best way to make it about sportsmanship again is just say, yeah, we're going to do it, so what?
I agree on that one. There you go, Sid, we agree on something.
We should stop now.
We should stop now. We're going to send it back to Dan, because that is still something that people have been talking about here. I think earlier today, the VIPs of both clubs actually met and had a nice little lunch to discuss it, but they didn't come out.
Do you think the Atletico VIPs lined up outside the restaurant?
No chance. So, guard of honour, there's some mixed feelings here about it, but as Atletico Madrid stand, they're not going to do one today.
Sid's a little bored of it. I'm a lot bored of it.
And we're only 4 minutes in.
I mean, lots. I'm just lots and lots and lots and lots and lots bored of it. I mean, for me, the Atleti statement was way too long. The statement should have read, we're not giving a guard of honour, get stuffed.
It was much longer as well.
Was it? We trimmed it. Yeah. Get stuffed. Honestly, I mean, what do you want? The most unsportsmanlike team on the planet, pretty much, to be all of a sudden sportsmanship?
Yeah.
Sportsman? I mean, come on. I wouldn't have done it as a player.
Would you have not?
No, not a chance. I competed, you compete, and you compete for titles and cups, and you win and lose. And, you know, at the end of the day, Atleti have had a poor season by their standards, so no, I wouldn't have done it.
Isn't that part of good sportsmanship, though? Congratulating the...
Have you seen them play? Have you seen them kick people? Have you seen them roll about? Have you seen them doing all their theatrics and... No. It's not for me.
Yeah, as Craig mentioned before, it's been a disappointing season, though, for Atletico Madrid, not only in the results, but in the sort of performances that they've put on aesthetically. Stefan Savic, though, addressed some of the criticism that the team has received.
I think the people are a little bit more criticising our style of play. OK, we played more defensively in the first leg against City. It is normal in their pitch you can't go and attack them all 90 minutes. But I'm just asking why they don't speak about our second game when we pressured Man City, when we were attacking, when they were playing that, as I said, our style defensively. They didn't play their normal game with passing game. They were kicking the ball and they were losing the time. So I think the people are a little bit too harsh, I think, speaking about our style of play. And I think we are a team that can transform. We have players that can play different styles of the game, and sometimes depends also on the opponent if they let you play more offensively or you need to defend a little bit more.
Yeah, Craig, you've been harsh.
I think he needs to go back and watch a season's worth of videos of games, get a bit of realisation. Yeah, they were better in the second leg at the Wanda against Man City, but boy, it was a low bar. They were so bad. And he talked about defending at Man City and not countering too much. They hardly countered at all. I mean, they were abysmal. And then they resulted, and him in particular, along with Felipe, resorted to the thuggery.
Yeah.
And he was at it from the first half, pushing people off when they were off the pitch into boards and all sorts, and dragging people with the scruff of the neck. Now, I think this is a classic case of looking outside and saying, oh, everybody's telling us we're not playing well and we're too defensive, but we're not. But
But you are.
Yeah.
You are. With that squad, with this group of players, I think they've just taken it at times too far this season. But you know my thoughts on Atleti. It's been the same since 2 months into the season. He does not know this season what his strongest 11 is. Coming up to, what, 3-4 games left for them, he still does not know what team's going to get him a result. He's been searching all year, and that is going to continue all the way through to the end of the season.
What's interesting, Sid, is you feel that maybe this criticism has galvanised the team even more, because let's face it, it's not been a good campaign. You're struggling to battle to get into a Champions League spot with still 4 matches to go. You're defending your title. That went out the window a long time ago. This has been a nice little distraction, isn't it? Everyone's against us. We don't care. We'll show them. We're going to stick to the way we want to play.
It felt like that, and it felt like that in the build-up to the Manchester City games and in the build-up to those big Champions League games. But actually, the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's felt a little bit less like that. It has felt like things are starting to come apart again. And we talked about this, didn't we, that lack of clarity. All season, we've been talking about Atletico's identity. What is it? How do they want to play? And I think you're right, Dan. There was a moment where, right, we'll go back to being the old Atletico, yeah. That nasty team that everybody hates. But, hey, we get results. And that's all well and good against some teams. But it's not good enough, I think, against the smaller teams. And you look at the results that Atletico Madrid have got against the bottom 5 and turn those into wins. And I know it doesn't work like that, you don't win every game, but just turn the games against the bottom 5 only into wins, and they're 1 point behind Real Madrid. That's the difference it could make. And so that attitude towards, you know, we've got to go back to being defensive, that could maybe have been a good thing building up to the big games, hasn't been in the smaller ones, and we've seen that in recent weeks. They've only won one of the last 4 games, and that's why they're now in a position where they might not get a Champions League place, which, by the way, from their point of view, is absolutely vital economically. They told the players, remember after the defeat against Levante, there was a meeting where one of the things they said to the players was, look, if we don't get in the Champions League, some of you lot aren't getting paid. Some of you lot have got contracts that we will not be able to honour next season, so you better get in the Champions League.
And I think also in this season, which has been a difficult one for Atletico Madrid, I think for the first time, I think probably ever, have so many people questioned Diego Simeone's future here at Atletico Madrid. Where do you think he stands now as the season is finishing?
Well, look, he is untouchable as a figure, which is not quite the same as saying he's untouchable as a manager, but he's untouchable as a figure, and you'll see it tonight. There is no doubt that the first major chant in this stadium will be for Simeone. No doubt about that at all. But it is true that there are one or two doubts because of how they've performed. I think he's still in a strong position, but he said it himself a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He said, we're in a position that I have not been in the 10.5 years that I've been here, in terms of how they're performing and how it feels like things are falling apart. Jan Oblak last week said, I don't know what's wrong with us. I don't know where our minds are, because one thing's for sure, they're not on the pitch, and this has never happened before, and I don't know why it's happening now.
The disco lights are coming on here at the Wanda. This is my favourite part, and this is why I love this stadium so much as
well. When they turn the lights out on us,
when they turn the lights out, so they can't see us too well, but hopefully our makeup looks quite good. But still talking about Diego Simeone and his future, when I was speaking to Stefan Savic, he said that they haven't actually spoken or looked back on the season just yet. They're going to wait for summer to truly sit down, watch back all the games, see where things went wrong. But in going forward, how does Diego Simeone rejig this identity of Atletico Madrid? Do they try to play the pretty football and bring in reinforcements there, or do they stick to the scrappy, ugly football, so to speak, that still gets some results?
Yeah, it's difficult to give you an answer to that, essentially because we've been in this position before.
Yeah.
3 or 4 times over the last 5 or 6 years, we've been in this position where there's been a sense of, do they evolve into something? And then it kind of reach a point, normally in October, November time, I think, actually, this isn't quite working, evolve back again. Last year, and I really do want to make this point, because I think we overlooked this. Last year, Atletico Madrid didn't win the league playing purely defensively. They got that big lead, 50 points halfway through the season, because they went for teams. They, if not necessarily in an all-out attack way, but certainly higher up the pitch, take the team closer to the penalty area. It's one of the reasons why it worked with Luis Suarez, because you can't play long over the top to Luis Suarez. There's no point. So they brought the whole team closer to the area, and it worked. And I find it difficult to understand why that didn't get continuity this year. I think one of the simple reasons for it, and I've said this before, but let me say it again, I think one of their problems this year was precisely the fact that they were league champions. And being league champions changed something. It changed something about the hunger. It changed something about the identity. It changed something about the way the players responded to some of the things they were asked to do. And then it had gone so quickly in the season, because they've been beaten too many times too early, that then there's this kind of scrabbling around for something. And then, of course, what happens? You grab onto what you always were, even if you weren't that team last season. And so what do they do next year? They've got to have a proper debriefing in the summer. They've got to have a look at the squad and Simeone has got to impose something that he truly believes in. And that, I think, has been part of the problem, that at times it's felt like what the squad is and what Simeone is, and maybe what the club wants at directorial level as well, isn't always exactly the same thing.
Steve, one person that you did mention earlier, Antoine Griezmann, he's someone as well that we got to speak to this weekend. Even though he said he's very happy at Atletico Madrid and chances are in the future he probably will want to stay here, he says that not getting that goal is haunting him. It's haunting him and it does keep him up at night. It's a curious case to crack. What do you think is going on there? What does his future look like here?
Well, if you look at his statistics, the 5 years that he was at Atletico Madrid last time, he scored at least 20 goals every season. He's got 8 this season. Now, there's been injuries. I think there's been difficulty putting in the team. I think if you look at the early lineups, he was playing sometimes in midfield, he was playing off the front, and he only wasn't sure what his team was. As Craig has said, we've had this all season, this idea of what is your 11. Just at that point where it felt like it was starting to fall into place, he then got a bit of an injury. He hasn't scored now since a game on the 6th of January against Raja Mahonda in the Cup, against a third-tier team in the Cup here in the stadium. And that night he came on, he scores a goal, and right at the end he gets injured. He's out for a few weeks, he comes back, he gets injured again. And so it just hasn't quite happened for him. But I do think there is a problem in terms of the conceptualisation of exactly what it is you want him to do. Now, in theory, he's in a position where he stays because Atletico Madrid had him on a 2-year loan with an obligatory €40 million purchase clause from Barcelona if he plays at least 50% of all the games. But not just all the games, 50% of the games where he's available. So if he's injured all season, that 50% is taken from the games where he could have played. He's played, I think, 18 times this season, so he's well on course for that already this season, but it's taken over the 2 years. So I think there's no doubt that his long-term and mid-term future is here, unless, of course, something significant changes in terms of Barcelona and Atletico Madrid wanting to renegotiate that. Now, I must admit, right now, I don't see a reason for that.
That's it then. Thank you, as always, for listening to our podcast. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Jan will be here, as will Shaka and Stevie.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.